how much I talk about how I am into a man that takes care of himself. It is sexy to me to know that a man is healthy, that he eats right, that he works out, that he takes care of his body, because I eat right, I take care of my body. My body is a priority of mine. You only get one. But I will say, to me, sometimes it's the conversation. It's the level of comfort that person makes you feel that turns you on too. So there's so many levels and layers of attraction that we have as individuals. And the only way to really truly discover that is to keep, you know, putting yourself out there to kind of see what that looks like, the dynamics look like. For me, it's just really hard for me to find someone that satisfies everything that I desire sexually. Like I said, I've only experienced it one time in my whole life, and the sex is otherworldly.
Mountains crumbling.
I mean, I feel like it's another planet that we go to. Like, I don't think the rest of the earth is with us. However, you know, I can't say that that's been my experience every time, but one of the things that makes it beautiful is when you're open and you're free and you're honest and you're vulnerable. And despite how open and honest and free and vulnerable we have been, we both still recognize that there's more levels that we could go to. Like, we want to be open. We want to explore each other. We want to do things that we've never done before with each other and experience those things together. And I think that's key. But that only comes with when you build a certain level of trust and a certain level of comfortability with a person. Mm-hmm. And that is where the chemistry and the connection come in, mm-hmm. because you can't have that with just anybody.
Yeah.
Now, some people can just have, they're free sexually, they're free spirits anyway, mm-hmm. but I'm talking about something that means something. Right. Because for me, I, and as a water sign, sex is deeper than just physical for me. It is never just physical unless I choose to let it be physical. Now, let's be clear. I've definitely had my times where it was just like, oh, I just want to, and then we're done.
Leave your shoes at the door. Because you're going to be going that way when you're done. You will not be spending the night.
You're not spending the night. Are you snoring? Get up. We're done. Get out. No. I'm just being real. But I will say, for me, as I've gotten older and I'm now looking for a life partner, it's so much more important to me to have somebody that I am completely free with. Like, you know, my song, Let's Explore, right there. I like to open myself up to my person where it's a judgment-free, worry-free. I don't care about putting myself out there zone. And I just want to give you all of what's on the inside of me and pour that onto you physically. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful place to be, but you can't be that with everybody unless you build that level of comfortability and that level of vulnerability with mm-hmm. the person. And it's so important. It's super key to be able to have that type of connection with the person, because it keeps the fire burning. It keeps the interest going. It's not like you get bored with that person, because you're always exploring new layers. And like you said, peeling back layers mm-hmm. of that situation with that person. There's nothing more attractive to me than being able to peel back those layers.
Yes. And I think that's important as well. I think that it needs to be said also, because we're talking about the bedroom, you're talking about, you know, knowing, you know, what your boundaries are, and your boundaries may be, you know, you need to find out what their boundaries are and what your boundaries are, or what they mm-hmm. call safe words. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're into, like I said, S&M, it's like the safe word is, you know, red. Okay, me stop beating his ass. He says, you know, he don't like
red.
That. Okay. He's in his red, but you know, I don't know anything about that. Something wrong with my eye. But there is something to be said about also the preliminary and mm-hmm. what comes before those things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, as an older woman, you know, because we're both on the other side of our 30s, me for a little farther along than you. And, you know, there's something to be said about the unfortunate and fortunate, because the fortunate part of technology and the fortunate part of what we're in right now, we're talking on Zoom, you know, mm-hmm. these are things that you marvel at mm-hmm. the evolution of technology and all the things that men are coming up with. But then you have what I like to call the atomic bomb of relationships, which is, you know, the porn and mm. you know, and the sites, I'm not going to call them out, but sites where people are, you know, paying this exorbitant amount of money to just look at people they think look good. You know, we're not going to talk about that, mm-hmm. that it was born in the pandemic, you know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I think that in some ways, the reason why I call it an atomic bomb to relationships, especially if you want something that's monogamous, is you almost frame in your head this expectation of what you want in a man and in a woman, or in a person, if you're non-binary. And it's kind of sad, because it's like, now we're out here doing all these things to our bodies and, you know, to our faces and mm-hmm. all this stuff that we're doing because we're trying to get somebody according to these standards that are really not even realistic. You know, the way, you know, people alter themselves to look a certain way online, and, you know, the way your ass has to look and the way your tits have to look and the way your face has to look and your hair and your skin. There's so mm-hmm. much. And I'm not saying that it's not on women only. There's some stuff on men, but the majority of it is still on women. It's like this burden of, this is the way you have to look. And mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes imperfections, if you will, in us are invented, and they even give them names, and then they market these products and say, you have this problem, therefore you have to buy this. And then all that stuff is out there, and all this pressure is out there to the degree that now you don't even want to look and be real in front of the person that you want to be your partner. And it's like, mm-hmm. you need to have somebody who you can take your, you know, your wig off, your weave off, or if your hair is short, you can shave your hair. There's got to be something said for, you know, what you look like when you go to bed and when you get up in the morning. Mm-hmm. You don't look mm-hmm. like that all the time. Like that whole, I woke up like this bullshit. There are some people out there who do wake up and it's like, oh, bitch, you know, do you look like this all the time? I mean, we know that there's people out there like that. But for the most part, I don't wake up looking like this. You know, I don't. And so if we're not, you know, real and honest about that as well, because that's very much matters of the heart as well. Mm-hmm. Not saying that there's some people like, I don't give a damn. You, when you go to bed, and there's another show, and I'll call it out, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And the mm-hmm. reason why it's so interesting is because on that show, the very first episode, when she goes to bed, she waits for him to go to sleep. And then she gets up and she makes sure that she washes her face and ties her hair up and puts on this cold cream. Well, she goes to sleep, but she also lifts up the shade just a bit so that when the sun or the light comes through, she'll know I got to get up before him and make sure I put on my makeup and make sure my hair is okay. And mm-hmm. I spray myself with perfume so that I can look the way that I look when he last laid eyes on me. And I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing to ourselves? Yeah. It's like, no, I don't know.
I will tell you.
And guys don't do this shit. It's like they go to bed, they get up with bad breath, sleep, crust.
They don't care.
And it's like, why
should we? They don't usually care about all that shit that we think they want. Mm-hmm. Majority of men that I know, and I have quite a few male friends. Mm-hmm. That are just my friends. I call them like my brothers. They're like brothers to me. And I have six brothers or five brothers. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that men will constantly say to me is, we don't care about all that shit. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we don't even like all that makeup all over the damn pillows. They don't care about that shit. We put that pressure on ourselves because we want to look like these Instagram models, or we want to look like this person and that person. Listen, I'm going to be completely honest.
Okay, Linda.
My boo thing. The first time we had sex, he was like, take that wig off. It's in my way. I said, this nigga.
Because that's what they do. I mean, I've had
it's in my way. And listen, I have natural. naturally long hair. Okay. My hair is natural, but it is long. And he was pulling on them braids. Like it was like the silkiest damn fine head he ever seen. I was like, this thing's crazy. But you know, I appreciated that.
Yeah. But that's shocking. I could be
completely myself with him. I am not going to bed with makeup on. I rarely ever even wear makeup. Okay. Let's be clear. Even right now I have on some bronzer and an eyeliner. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Concealer.
Take it or leave it.
Chapstick. So, because I don't want to be bothered. Honestly, Erica, I just don't.
It's a lot of work.
I don't want to be bothered. There's times where I'm just like, oh, fuck. I don't care.
I want you to know what I look like at my worst. I want you to know what I look like at my worst. And when you can still call me beautiful, when I feel like I'm not looking my best because I know I didn't put the effort or the energy into it, that is when I truly feel seen and valued by my partner.
Or watch this. Here's the thing for me. You could say, you look tore from the floor, but I love you. That's the other thing. I'm not going to be beautiful all the time, neither are you. Right. That's why I say matters of the heart, because it's got to be more than that, because looks wane. They do. We are like the car that's driven off the parking lot. Once they talk about depreciation, we depreciate as human beings as well. Absolutely. I'm not going to look like this in 10 years. Hell, I'm not going to look like this next year. I'm going to look different because your body, your face, everything changes. And, you know, even when you look at pictures, like pictures in the past, like, damn, my nose is big. And then you look now, like, my nose ain't that big. Because your body changes. And it's
redistributes
everything.
Now, there are things we can do to keep ourselves looking fabulous. I believe in looking fabulous.
Yeah, for you.
For me.
And for me.
It is never going to be to attract a man or keep a man. I'm not effing doing it. Like, it's too much work. I need you to see me.
Internally and externally. Yeah. And what I mean by for you is not for you as far as for yourself. I'm saying for me at age 60, this is what I look like based on my lineage, based on my genealogy, based on my makeup, my background, you know, what different different races I have in me based on my grandmother, my great grandma, my great great grandmother, grandfather. This is what that encompasses. So however I look at age 60 or age 70 is how I look. And if you don't get to the point where you can look at a person and go, like Moonstruck is another one of my favorite movies, and there was a scene in there where the brother and the sister, and the brother and the sister-in-law, his wife, he was looking out the window at this moon, and she looked at him and she said, for a minute standing in the window in the moonlight, you looked the way I saw you at like 20 years old or 25 years old or something like that. And it's like her eyes saw the man she loved, even though the man she's looking at is not that man from that age. It was still, you look like the man that I love. I'm looking at my light like, don't go off, bitch. But you look like that. You look like that. And it's like, that's the beauty of being in a relationship with someone, even a friendship. It's like, you know, the lines and the cracks and the scars and all of the things that you're going to look like when you get older.
The uneven skin tone, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. We're human. We're naturally flawed people. Like, at the end of the day, the stuff that you see online is not real. It's not real. And I have a pretty flat stomach, but there are days where my stomach is bloated and I have to be like, let me suck that in if I'm taking pictures.
And I do
because I'm modeling. I'm in the public eye, so mine's a little different, a little more pressure.
Yeah.
However.
Yeah, and I just don't give a shit. If I do it, you know, and wherever any of us lands, it should be again. And I understand what you're saying, because it is what it is in the industry. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. I mean, let's be honest, Lizzo's an anomaly. She still is. You know, people drag her, you know, because she boldly is physically who she is. And so a lot of people are very inspired by that, but there are people who cruelly drag her too, because she's like, this is my size, this is my body. But there is still that pressure, and it's unfortunate. But like I said, I'm not going to be pressured. I don't give a shit.
I'm not going to be pressured either. I do what I do for me. I look the way that I want to look that makes me comfortable in my skin. And at the end of the day, that's why I work out. That's why I eat right. Because I know what I like when I look at me. I always say I want to turn myself on when I look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. That is literally my hashtag goal. I said when I am 85, I'm still going to be fine and fabulous. And I'm going to be pulling the 60 somethings at 85.
And you're still going to be nasty.
I'm still going to be nasty. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You're going to be a nasty, I won't even say old. I'll say you're going to be a nasty senior. You are. God help those men.
I am here for it.
Take your medicine. Just make sure you're healthy and take your medicine, because I will look right at them and say, if you are not healthy, you're going to die. Don't mess with her. She's going to kill you. Don't. Mm-hmm. Just leave her alone.
Yeah. Or because I've made it very clear, like, I'm not taking care of you because you chose not to take care of your body. Like, yeah. If I love you, I'm a great caregiver, but I will not care for somebody that is being reckless with their health. I will not. Because you are not taking care of yourself and you are not, you know, valuing your body.
Yeah.
Do not expect me to sit here and take care of you and that be my life sentence. Oh, yeah. Hell to the no.
Well, you don't want to be an enabler either. You know, sit around.
So while we are still fairly young in our bodies, because in my mind, I'm still young. I'm still ready. You know, but at the end of the day, I take care of me now, because it's not about just how I look physically. It's about how I am internally. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to something that we talked about, is that comfortability, that vulnerability, and all of that being stemmed from kind of what we view ourselves as. And a lot of that comes from societal norms and what the pressure, like I said, Instagram models, these women are literally, we talked about it this earlier, today and yesterday, about these women that are getting these BBLs and their behinds don't even match their legs and they look crazy. And my thing is, whatever you do, do you, boo, that makes you happy, but don't do it because you want to be like what society says is beautiful. Do it because it's really what you really want to do for yourself. I'm never going to knock anybody doing whatever they want to do for themselves, but make sure your motive behind why you do what you do is for you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we have to get to that place. So before we can even ever get comfortable with our partner, we've got to be comfortable within ourselves. Mm-hmm. You got to look at yourself. There are times where I look, when I get out of the shower, I have a floor length mirror that has lights on it. And I look at my body and I'm like, you's a bad bitch every day.
Yeah, you have to.
Even when I'm, you know, a little more bloated or I can tell I've gained a few pounds.
Yeah.
I love my body.
Yeah.
I love my body. I value my body. And I'm not afraid to share my body with my person.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to be completely naked.
Yeah.
Anybody that knows me knows naked is the way I like to be.
but that's an energy that people pick up on as well. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't do that, like if you don't do things like strip down in front of the mirror or look at mm-hmm. yourself in the mm-hmm. mirror and look at your body and find things on you that mm-hmm. you like. And if there's something that you don't like that you can do something about it.
But if
you get to the point where it's like dysmorphia and you're always finding something wrong and you keep running mm-hmm. to this or that, or not even a surgeon, but it could be all kinds of different things.
Dermatologist,
all kinds of stuff.
Bad diets.
All kinds of stuff you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look at your, and I mean, again, somebody could say, you know, fuck you, have fun. You know, I this is what I do. Do you? If that's what makes you happy to have this whole routine and it takes you 2 hours to get out of the house every day, then if that's what makes you happy, hey, do what makes you happy. But if we're doing stuff like that because we're afraid to be seen, that's when it's a problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of this, you know, like I said, just if you can't, you know, just when I was a lot younger, I was probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 or 13 years old. I used to dress mm-hmm. in the dark. I wouldn't look at myself. And I would, I mean, I would not look at myself in the mirror at all. And it's because I let people tell me that I was mm-hmm. ugly.
Yeah, they told you ugly. What beautiful was or what ugly was. And what I wasn't. That became your mind frame.
Yeah.
Your mindset was, I'm not beautiful.
Yeah. And so, you know, it took me a very long time to get to the point where I would look at myself. And you can't let anybody tell you that. Don't let somebody tell you you're beautiful. You need to tell yourself. I don't care if people do tell you that. What do you think about you?
What do you think about yourself?
You know, you could have somebody tell you that you're the most beautiful person in the world. But here's the sad part. They tell you you're the most beautiful person in the world and you're used to hearing it from other people and you never say it to yourself. When your looks start to wane and they stop saying it, what's going to happen to you? And so if you don't tell yourself, even when you are considered the most beautiful or people always looking at you, when your looks start to change, if you're not constantly depositing that into yourself and you start to get, there's almost like a famine of compliments. You don't get them anymore. You need to fill your own cup.
Absolutely.
Even when you have an abundance of those compliments, when they start to go away, you still need to be filling your own cup.
Fill
your own cup because.
And it's so funny you say that because I preach that to my podcast, to my life coaching and my life coaching audience all the time. You are responsible for your own cup. Don't depend on people to fill your cup up. What I give to other people is the overflow that flows out of my cup. They don't get what's in my cup. What's in my cup is for me. I fill my cup up. I pour into me every single solitary day, whether it be confidence, whether it be boldness, whether it be, you know, fearlessness, whatever that is, I feel my own. I am responsible for my own view of myself, not somebody else's opinion. And when you take that away from other people, they will no longer be able to control you and how you view yourself because you know within yourself that this is what makes you who you are. Yeah. And it's so important. We have to come to that place where we know who we are as individuals and we build ourselves up. I'm not looking for a man to tell me I'm beautiful. I tell myself I'm beautiful. Not out of arrogance. I'm far from arrogant, but what I am is confident and I'm secure in who I am. It took me years. I've always, you know, had a lot of attention, but I was also teased for being the light-skinned redhead freckle-faced girl. And I would have kids say some cruel things to me. Oh, your mom must have been sleeping with the mailman because you don't look like none of your other siblings, you know, stuff like that. And the little white girl, I would be called that. And it was interesting to me growing up and, you know, how they would call me fat because I was always curvy. And I remember back in high school, I look at my high school pictures. I was like, you was a bad bitch back in high school. You was a size 8, curvy AF. You had a grown woman body and these girls made fun of you because they wish they had what you had.
And which you is hated sad your body. Which is sad in and of itself.
Right. Because you hated your body because everybody told you you weren't pretty enough or you were fat. And then you look at yourself now, you go back to looking at your high school and you're just like, fat where?
Well, the other thing that you just touched on is the lack of solidarity amongst us as well. And I hate to say
we tear each other down.
Yeah. And I hate to say as females, because there's this, the spectrum has broadened. So, you know, forgive me if I say females, knowing that the spectrum has broadened to people who don't even identify. They say I'm whatever, I'm non-binary and whatever, don't put me in a box. And I agree, you know, in a lot of ways I agree, but then there is, you know, the whole cisgender, I was born with this certain genitalia kind of thing as well, which is really, and there's an essence. And I believe that. I think there's an essence to you. And I think that when it comes to females, because, you know, traditionally there is this essence, there's this energy amongst us. And I think sometimes there is a lack of solidarity because of how one person looks over how another person looks. And I think that's why we tear each other up. Because there is, and you know, I love our men. But the beauty industry is balling, and it unfortunately probably always will be, because as long as you can say that this actress or this model or this musician or this whatever wears this foundation or wears this hair or wears this makeup, and somebody somewhere to the tune of millions of women are going to say, and men are going to say, "Ooh, I want my eyebrows to look like that. I want my lips to look like that." And then you go and you put it on, and it doesn't look like that person. It's because that's on not you. You.
On you.
And so then we have a person who we're in school with or we're at work with. with, and they do look good in whatever that you want to look good in, and you get mad at them. No, don't get mad at them, because that's mm-hmm. them. That's their style that fits them. Find what suits you and then appreciate your apples to their oranges. And that's Absolutely. Really what we have to get to. It's hard as hell, because there is such a wedge that's fed between us, that's fed because of this damn industry. And that's why, mm-hmm. you know, I try to stay out of that. And I try to look at me and say, this is what looks good on me. This is what works for me. That's what works mm-hmm. for you. And I no mm-hmm. longer, I work really hard to no longer look at certain styles or even what I see in a magazine or online and say, ooh, I would look good in that. No, I don't know that I will look good in that, because she looks good in that. I need to make sure that it looks good for me and my style.
And your frame.
If it doesn't, in my frame, in my frame, mm-hmm. you know, everything shouldn't be made for everybody, because it some people wear it well and some people don't, regardless of size. There are some people who don't mm-hmm. wear it well, and you need to figure mm-hmm. out if that's you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's so important, like, you know, to summarize, to my podcast audience, in order for you to truly be comfortable sexually, you have to be comfortable and confident in who you are as an individual. You have to know yourself. And it's okay to go through that discovery process in figuring out what works for you. Everybody has to go through it. You don't automatically wake up one day and know everything that you want sexually. You have to learn how to love yourself, embrace yourself, embrace the things that you find sexy, attractive, that turns you on, and learn how to be comfortable in your own skin. It's so important. You, in order for you to truly experience sex the way that you are supposed to experience it, you have to be comfortable with yourself. And in order for you to be able to share that level of comfortability and vulnerability and openness with another person, it's gonna take you taking that step for yourself. Any final thoughts that you wanna give to the audience, Annette?
Not really. The only thing that just occurred to me, and I've already talked about being free and getting free if you're not free, mm-hmm. and finding out what that's going to take. It might take a therapist. Hell, do mm-hmm. it. It may mm-hmm. take a friend. Find a freaky friend who you can just say whatever to. I mean, seriously, everybody needs a freaky friend in your life.
You do need a freaky
friend. If you don't want a therapist, get a freaky friend. It's like, damn, can we talk about like dicks and pussies? Can I say that to you without you cringing? And the other side of it, the other side of it is that there are people out there who don't like sex, and it's okay to be mm-hmm. asexual. It's okay to say, I don't want to do that. I don't like a penis in me. I don't like to do all the sucking and all the stuff that they do. And they might think it's animalistic. There may be something very weird about it to them, and it doesn't resonate with them. And if that's not something you're into, then
it's okay. You have to find somebody, a companion that's okay with them.
And it may not be a companion. It may be that you just don't want to be bothered with anybody.
You don't want to be bothered with people. If you want to be by yourself, that is fine too. It is really literally whatever you desire for yourself individually. It's not about what other people, society, or anybody else has to say. And I feel like that is the key. Being comfortable in your own skin and owning who the F you are.
Fuck. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll say fuck. I don't have a problem.
But I'm kidding.
You know, my mouth is raggedy. But you have to be able to own who you are. Mm-hmm. And it's so important. And we're going to continue this conversation I'm going to have a panel of guests. I'm going to have men. I'm going to have women. It's going to be exciting. We're going to talk about all the things. We're going to talk about what men get from sex and how sex is viewed in a male perspective versus how it's viewed a female perspective, because there are differences there. We are wired differently for the most part. We're going to talk about same sex. We're going to talk about, you know, what are some of the things that we, you know, that is some of the things that they experience, some of the challenges, some of the things that, you know, we want to talk. I just want to talk about everything, because I want everybody that listens to Relationship Talks with Erica Janelle to be comfortable in their own damn skin and be free to be who the fuck you are. Okay. I hope you guys enjoyed this. We will have more sessions coming up. Thank you so much, Annette, for being my wonderful guest. You are the best. Love you guys. I hope you enjoy.